This show is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with healthy and delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Let's turn that on. Support this podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sample box at naturebox.com/Joey. That's right. Totally free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/Joey.
Lee.
What's up, buddy?
What a natural reading.
I know.
This motherfucker's on fire.
Dude, that we had already.
Yeah.
You'll see at the end. You'll see. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and check out the men's and women's underwear they have. They have t-shirts, socks, pants, shorts, anything you want to wear. MeUndies.com/Joey. And you're going to get 20% off of your first order. And they're going to give you free shipping in the United States and Canada. I can never say that word high, Canada. And go, what's up?
Canada?
Yeah. Okay. I can't. It's hard. Go to onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off all the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. It's code word church to get 10% off.
Wake up those fucking spirits, cocksucker. We're back, bitches. Like Aerosmith in 76. We didn't tap out yet, this motherfucker. Josh Wolf, Lee Syatt, your Uncle Joey Diaz. It's the church. What's happening now, cocksuckers? He's back in the saddle again. Fucking tremendous. Just fucking tremendous.
Aerosmith, early Aerosmith is ridiculous.
And the youth of today does not even, they think it started with Love in an Elevator and that fucking shit with the Run DMC. That was cool and shit.
But when you're talking about Pump Aerosmith and Toys in the Attic Aerosmith, it's two different bands.
Two different genres.
It's two different bands. Toys in the Attic Aerosmith is such great rock and roll. Such great rock and roll. And I bet you early Steven Tyler was a monster in concert.
Rocks.
A monster.
Listen, when you listen to Get Your Wings and you hear the train kept a rolling, they were fucking monsters. Every time I saw Aerosmith, they were never good for me. They got worse and worse.
In
and
which
worse.
Years did you
77,
go?
77, 78.
That's kind of prime years.
Garbage. Sound, the heroin. They knew it.
They were drugged out.
If you pulled them aside now and go, hey, man, I saw you in 77, they'll tell you, I know. We're sorry, though. That was a really bad situation.
Messy,
heroin-y. When I saw him at the Meadowlands, open for Ted the first time. I couldn't. Dog, how excited was I?
Yeah.
In my backyard.
Yeah,
we walked to the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
We saw Poco, Frank Marino, Mahogany Rush. And when Aerosmith took that fucking stage, it was something, This album to me, rocks to me, is my top five albums. I don't play it no more because I've worn it out. It's like Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath to me.
But you like rocks more than toys.
100 times better. That whole side. Just, you know, and I described it to Lee. This is what you have to picture, okay? They did the first album, then they did the second album.
Can you name what are the songs on Rocks?
The Rocks is Back in the Saddle, Nobody's Fault.
Good one.
Going Under, Rats in the Cellar. We're going under. She couldn't get her.
So is Back in the
No
Saddle.
No More, No More.
Last Child.
No, it's the first side is death. Listen, don't even go. The first side is death. But what happened with Aerosmith was that they put the first album out and the second album out. And they were the kings. And all of a sudden, something happened. What happened was the heroin took over. Even in their book, they have a great. They have one.
By the way, are you talking about Walk This Way? The book, Walk This Way?
The one when they all did
they're all
their
talking?
Stories.
Yes. That was a great
that
fucking
was one
book.
Of the best fucking rock
great
books of all time.
Fucking book.
Because you see what drugs do?
Oh, my
so
God.
So how could me, Lee, and Josh be in the same room fucked up and they ask us about the same situation, and we have three different stories. Sometimes two of the stories were close, but it was what your eyes see.
But it's perception, dude.
It's perception.
It's how they were perceiving.
Fucking tremendous, guys. Tremendous. If you're an Aerosmith fan, so they were fucked up. They were living in a house. They didn't talk to each other.
Yep.
They had to sign a sheet to record.
Yep.
This is before Rocks. Now, I'm in North Bergen, New Jersey. I'm just a dumb fucking spit kid in a neighborhood playing basketball. And every day when we played basketball, there was two types of kid that hung on that court. There was the nerds, me and, you know, Chucky McBreen, and we thought basketball was everything. Then there were these guys that hung around the side of the courts. And they drank beer, and every once in a while you got into a fist fight with them, and they smoked pot, and they smoked cigarettes, and listened to Frampton Comes Alive and all that dumb shit, which isn't bad. I heard that yesterday. Pretty good fucking summer album.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Frampton Comes Alive.
No, and I remember those guys saying how Aerosmith was over. The rumor nationwide, and Lee and I have had this conversation, was that they were done. The heroin had taken over. You know, Led Zeppelin was in the top of their game. Let It Skid It was fucking making a run for it around the fucking corner. I mean, they were right there with Horse Number Three. I mean, it was a tough time to be a musician. Elton John was starting to come off his high horse.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a different time. You got to remember, Elton John was still around. Black Sabbath was still around. Aerosmith was around. Rainbow was around. All these fucking tremendous groups were around. And on top, Ted Nugent was around. And on top of all this, six or eight dirty white dudes had just blown the Stones out in Nebraska, which is like, you know, it's like going to fucking the White House and jerking off in Malia's face. What's the daughter? That's the one.
Yeah.
Right? The fucking jerking off in the president's face. Mrs. Obama. Michelle.
Oh, that's Michelle. Malia's the daughter.
Yeah, Malia's like a 12-year-old.
I'm sorry about that. I don't want to jerk off in nobody's face. I don't want to jerk off my daughter's face either.
But you have jerked off in somebody's daughter's face.
Oh, please.
Let's be honest.
If you find the chick to let you come on their face, nobody ever says no. We're like, okay. And then when you see the cum dripping down their face, you're like, I don't think I'm going to call this bitch no more. When you came in the chick's ear, you're disgusting.
What?
He came in some chick's ear in a fucking road gig and ran out of there.
Not and ran out.
Cum in her ear. Who puts cum in people's ears?
I didn't.
Were you aiming? Or was it just like a lucky shot?
No, you know, it was a, she moved at the last second. And so,
where were you aiming for?
I don't remember. I think she pulled her head out and back, and it just kind of caught her right in the. And
the
she
best
said,
is "When it's on their face and they want to have a conversation with you, like that was great. No, it wasn't. Go wash your face, dog. You're gonna sit there with that blub on your fucking
blub
with the fog on your face. What's that monster? The blob. Whatever.
The blob. Yeah.
The blob jump on your face, and that's what nobody remembers. So here's Boston, 1975.
I love you. Jump right back in it.
All it's about. All Boston's about is about the Red Sox and the Celtics, because in the 75.
Well, that was
nobody was better than them.
That was Yastrzemski and Lynn and Rice.
I don't even know what the hockey team was doing in 75.
Probably pretty good.
I don't even know what the Bruins were
Bobby
doing.
Bobby Orr was still playing in 75.
Yeah, so I don't even know what they were doing. So Boston really wasn't about music.
Right.
There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. There was the phone.
This phone.
With a long fucking
cord.
The rotary phone.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, that was why I'm Back is so important. Because everybody had written them off. A lot of people don't know that. Who remembers that? Only an idiot like me.
But wait, when did Rocks come out?
75. Look at it, Lee. When did Rocks come out? 75.
And Toys came out?
77.
May 3rd of 76. Very close.
Oh, shit. Tell.
Tell me when Toys came out.
When did Toys come out? 75.
Let's see here. Yes, April of 75.
So Toys was first.
Yeah.
So by the end of Toys, the rumors were like, they're done. They're done.
Yeah.
They're in Heroinville. Nobody sees them. Joe Perry left. By that time, there were rumors that the singer was gone already.
Wait. Toys was the second album?
No, Toys is the third. So it's Aerosmith, Walk Your Dog, and
Dream On.
The second one, Seasons of Where the Train Kept Rolling.
That's right.
That's a great album. Yep. The third one is Toys in the Attic. The fourth one is Rocks, April 3rd of 76. The fifth one is Night in the Ruts. No.
I'm looking it up.
Yes.
So we start with Aerosmith, Get Your Wings, Toys in the Attic, Rocks, Draw the Line.
Draw the Line! Kings and Queens.
But Night in the Ruts was fifth.
Yeah.
That was
horrifically bad.
That was terrible.
That was at the end. He left. They did the tour without Joe Perry. He left. Joe Perry joined the band, the Joe Perry Project, and they had a singer named Ralph Moorman. I saw them open up for Heart at Radio City Music
Hall. That was not good music.
That was not good music. No. Then I saw Aerosmith at the Soap Factory in like Cliffside Park, New Jersey, and that was like watching somebody in the original room. Like, these guys put out Rocks. These guys put out some of the greatest albums of all time. And I'm watching these guys at the Soap Factory where Twisted Sister would play and Sticky Fingers, like tribute bands, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like Dark Side of the Moon. And he is the real Aerosmith. The drummer was still left.
There was only two of them.
One guitar player was left and the singer. The one guitar player left with the guitar player from Ted Nugent. And they created, what's the name of that band? What was the name of Ted Nugent's singer? You know, online there. Ted Nugent's singer. The reason why Ted Nugent died after the second or third album is because the singer left. He went, and the one who sang Strangle.
Derek St. Thomas?
It was the name of the band was St. Holmes. Boom. They put an album out.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. This is what my life was. I was a fucking drug addict, and all I do was listen to music and have arguments about music. And that's what, you know, if you read Cream magazine those days, that's what you did.
So you never saw them, like, because when we first met, you would show me, and you told me about, like, them starting underground and, like, people just being blown away.
Who's that?
Aerosmith.
Yeah, no.
They were all underground.
You know, but they got popular by touring.
By touring.
Like, when they released that album, when they first released it, it shit the bed. It didn't do well at all. And then the more they toured, they rediscovered the album.
So people would just go to concerts then? Because if they were touring...
Yeah, and
then...
$10.
Yeah. But that's that's how they made their name. Look, you get a song on the radio, and you could sell tickets.
And you could sell tickets.
Yeah.
You know, so that... $10.
And you got to remember also, that was right when everyone was... Look, it was stadium rock. People were going out to see shows. Like, they're in numbers that they don't do right now.
But I don't think it was stadiums then as much as... Like, I went to see all those bands at the Meadowlands, the Garden, you know, Nassau Coliseum. They weren't doing those big. The big thing in my generation was the US Festival. Once the US Festival started in 83, that kicked everything open. The US Festival they did in California in 73, Missing Persons, Van Halen, just a tremendous festival, 3 days, a fucking heavy Journey. Anybody who was hot did the US Festival. Anybody who was hot in 83. What's the US Festival, Doug?
I'm looking for it. I can't find
it. They still have it?
US Festival. No.
In 73?
And they aired it in 83, the US Festival. It was in June and May of 83. And they did it. Nothing?
I got it. All right. Labor Day weekend of 82.
Okay.
What's the lineup?
All right. So on Friday, it was Gang of Four, the Ramones, the English Beat, Oingo Boingo, the B-52s, Talking Heads, and the Police.
That's pretty strong.
Damn!
That's pretty strong.
Damn!
That's give me the second pretty fucking night. Strong.
The Police in their fucking heyday. In their fucking heyday. Okay, who was this?
What second? Year was that?
82, but I think it was 83. I was living in...
But that's before... Isn't that before Synchronicity, 82? Or is that right out in Synchronicity?
It was... Synchronicity was that summer of 83.
No, because I think what it is, it's kind of like, you know, how cars are your head. I think it was like Summerfest 83, but they held it...
Right. It was. I was living in Boulder because I was thinking of going. I was living in Aspen. And I thought me and my buddy were thinking of going to see Missing Persons. So what was the Saturday?
Okay. Let's go to it.
Look at the fucking Saturday.
So Saturday opened up with Dave Edmunds, Eddie Money, The Cars, followed by Santana, The Kinks, Pat Benatar,
everybody.
And then Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, holy
everybody.
Shit.
Keep reading.
Okay.
So, that was fucking insane.
And then it's a short Sunday. You have Breakfast with the Grateful Dead, Jerry Jeff Walker, Hoyt Acton, Jimmy Buffett, Jackson Browns, and Fleetwood Mac.
That was for the decent older white people. But what was missing?
By the way. I don't know if you're familiar with Jerry Jeff Walker.
No.
Do you like storyteller music?
No.
Dude, he's the fucking best.
I want to hear
it. I don't like it.
I want to see the devil music. No, it was tremendous.
This is just Wikipedia. It could be wrong.
Yeah, because I know Missing Persons was there. There was a couple bands there. That was one of the biggest fests. And then Guns N' Roses showed up.
At that?
No, that's 83.
Oh, you're talking about,
but,
on the music
you know,
scene.
I'm lying to you because when I saw the Stones in Philly, they were in an arena. They were doing arenas. Like, that was amazing. That
you know, I wish I had seen Guns N' Roses.
Me neither. I never saw them.
Either. I wish I did.
I never. By the time Guns N' Roses came out, I had Guns N' Roses. That's what I was doing, walking around with Guns and fucking Roses.
Have you heard Axl Rose try to sing recently?
Have you seen what he looks like?
He looks kind of like Mickey Rourke now.
No, they all look the same.
I'm telling you, they all look the same.
What's the dude from, what's the dude from fucking The Pigeon? What's the dude?
The Pigeon?
What's that dude from fucking Anthony Top Gun?
No.
Oh.
Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer and your boy and the singer from Guns N' Roses are the same person.
Val Kilmer, Mickey Rourke, and and Axl Rose, all the same person.
I got to tell you something, America, and I hope you don't get insulted by this. I've been involved with some bad movies. But I watched The Expendables the other day, and I got to tell you.
Which one? The first one?
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really
matter. I mean, because I think there's four of them.
Bruce Willis with that light bulb head, and then Arnold walks in. We can't have that. And if you paid for The Expendables.
And Chuck Norris.
It's really bad.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, it was Mickey Rourke. He's a tattoo guy. He throws a knife, and Sheerhand throws a knife.
They have everybody in it. What, it's like that. What's that festival?
That was god awful.
How many? Like that poster has like 19 people on it. But it was a terrible. Was that the one with Ronda Rousey? Is that one you saw?
I watched 8 minutes of it. That's the first time.
In the hotel?
I knew not. No. Yeah. It was on USA. I wouldn't pay for it.
Oh, my God.
There's no way I get taken by those movies no more. Not one of those things is any good.
I mean, look at the. Is it going to come up on there?
Yeah, it's going to come up.
It is. That is ridiculousness.
By the way, that's fucking crazy.
It's tremendous. Yeah, it's tremendous.
I have to tell you, like, if you told me that these old motherfuckers were going to look at Dolph Lundgren. Who is that? Tom Hanks? Who is that? Antonio Banderas, Harrison Ford, Wesley Snipes. Oh my God!
Yeah, no. I can't. That's you can't go see that shit. I wouldn't go see the fucking first one. You're crazy.
I think that is the. I don't know.
I can't deal with that, ladies and gentlemen. I can't. Listen, these fucking movies. I see them coming. Remember, I'm a movie guy. I love movies as a child. So I see a movie when you see that fat chick in the trailer. That's the best scene in the fucking movie. Okay.
Which set? What
the chick from Molly and Mike.
Oh, Melissa McCarthy.
When you see her in the trailer,
I feel bad for her. They like just wrung her out quick. Like at least Will Ferrell had like a decade. She has like 3 years.
I don't think
years.
Will Ferrell had a decade.
Will Ferrell had a bunch of good
stuff. He had a bunch of good, but he had a bunch of bombs.
Oh, the last one was terrible.
Bad.
But starting going all the way back to Zoolander, he in those and he had a bunch of movies where he had funny like little.
Oh yeah,
that's why he's the best.
Listen, my movie is my Night at the Roxbury is my movie. Right. So don't tell me I love him.
Yeah.
But that got dumb. It got dumb. And once he got that Philip C. Hoffman, I don't like those guys.
All right, you didn't like Step Brothers?
I don't like that guy.
Oh, that was a great. I thought
Step Brothers really.
I can't look at that guy.
No,
I can't look at that guy.
He's too goofy for you.
Yeah, that shit's too fucking.
You didn't like him in.
I like the basketball movie a little bit.
Really? Most people hate Semi Pro.
What's the Dirk Diggler? I mean, what's that movie?
What?
Mark Wahlberg.
Tremendous. That's a great
movie. But you didn't
movie.
Like him in that movie?
The heroin guy that died of heroin?
No, the guy from Step Brothers. You didn't like he was great in that movie.
I just can't digest him. I can't. Listen, these people tell me about shows. All that, if I don't like one or two people in the show, I can't watch it.
Did you watch Bloodline? You got Netflix? Oh, it was fucking really good.
What's Bloodline?
You know who Kyle Chandler is? You ever watch Friday Night Lights?
No.
All right, we should stop this conversation right now.
And you don't like storytelling music?
Yeah. what shows do you watch? You watch anything?
We watched The Sopranos the other night.
We watched The Sopranos. I turned them on to this.
Hadn't seen The Sopranos?
I never had HBO.
About a week
up.
And a half ago, I came home the other night and I go, what am I going to watch? And I said, when was the last time I saw The fucking Sopranos? So I turned on episode two, season two. Episode one, season two. Mm-hmm. And I watched the whole thing. And I think the third episode one night, I had tears coming out of my face. I was laughing so hard.
Let me tell you what I fucking loved about that show is that look, the easy thing or the tendency for people writing it would be like, well, somebody needs to die every show. It needs to be action-packed. There would go two or three shows where nothing fucking happened. It was just almost slice of life. Nothing happened. And on that fifth show, shit went down. Like, they made it realistic. That shit doesn't go down every day. Some days we're just living our lives. And it made it, when people died, that much better. Like, that much more of a shock. It was a fucking great. And you know what? How do you like that dude? If on paper, if you wrote him down, you're like, he's your hero. You're like, fuck you. I can't like that. He was so good.
Gandolfini, I got to tell you something. I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss him. I watched The Drop.
I watched that too.
With Tom Hanks, because that's my new motherfucker right there.
Dude, Tom Hardy?
Mad Max fucking
trash. How good was that?
Damn!
How good was
damn!
That?
Damn!
Yeah.
Damn, it was fucking good.
He is so good.
I'm just waiting for like 1,000-milligram cookie in Denver. And I'm going to go see that in the afternoon, like at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. That's how much I enjoyed that movie. And she was tremendous.
Yeah.
First off, I like that. I like The Road Warrior. I believe if you hit me with any scenario, Martians and
that's the one.
Rocks and San Andreas Fault,
yeah.
The only thing I see in my life is 1,000 years from now or 200 years from now. That's it.
Where there's nothing left.
That's it. Everything from here to California. There's gangs in each state, mm-hmm. and they hunt you down like they did. They came out with a gang.
Oh, so good.
It was like The Warriors, and The Warriors was on last night. So I watched Mad Max, and I saw The Warriors last night, and I'm like, damn.
Keep running, Warriors. All the way back to Coney.
That's it. They had to keep going back. So every time they came, you know, when they were going back, they encountered the guys in the roller skates with the bats.
Yeah.
They encountered
the baseball guys.
They encountered the guys with the capes, baseball guys. Yeah. Same thing with that. They encountered those guys with the motorcycle. Then they decided to come back against it with the chicks. I just like the movie. I fucking hate everything I go. And let me tell you something right off.
Charlize Theron was amazing.
Tremendous.
Amazing.
There was something in the last 30 minutes. There was a couple things I didn't like about the last 30 minutes.
What?
Like, it just seemed too far-fetched. I don't remember at this point. I was pretty high. I went with my wife. I got some popcorn. I went to Wembley right there in Lancashire. It's easy. They got a fucking Chipotle right next to it. You got the sausage plates across the street. I went in there. And I tell you, man, I usually walk out of there going, Birdman. I walked out of there like, what did I just watch? What the fuck is this? A bird and a fucking guy? The one I saw, the Addams Family in there. Not the
Addams Family.
Not the Addams Family. The one with the one that Johnny Depp did, the remake of.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, that was the Barbara one?
Yeah.
What's Sweeney Todd?
No. About the monsters.
I know what you're talking about.
About the monsters.
Yeah.
He was
like a vampire.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
That was so fucking bad, dude.
Listen. At this point, everything's going to be bad. I just go to get entertained now.
But Mad Max was...
entertainment.
It was... look, that last scene, that long fight scene, it just kept going.
And the guy I liked was Gavin on the guitar, playing the guitar. That's Gavin. Until the end, somebody just turned around and said, bam! And just shot that motherfucker in the head. That's tremendous.
It was great.
I enjoyed myself. A lot of people are going to... I enjoyed myself. My wife said it. She goes, you got up one time to pee. I'm so proud of you. Usually I get
How many times you get up?
When I can't sit in a movie no more?
Yeah.
That's it. Once the phone rings, now I answer.
Wait, you'll walk out and just hang out outside?
That's it. I can't watch this no more.
What's the last movie you walked out of? You walk out of Birdman?
I didn't, because my wife was there.
I got to tell you, the end of Birdman was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
The dude
flew away.
All these movies when people said, and this is a movie for Gentiles, like the Oscars, and all these people love that movie.
Yeah.
Which lets me know how dumb they really fucking are when they get together in one fucking circle. Once you put them together in one circle, lets you know how fucking stupid they really fucking are. And you hate to speak this way, but, who could have voted for that movie to win as many awards as it did? Nothing.
I didn't hate the movie as much as you did. But I thought Michael Keaton was fantastic. Dude, and you know what? I like him.
I like him too.
He never gets better than Night Shift.
I like to listen.
Did you ever see Night Shift?
Tremendous.
Him?
With Belzer?
Flintstones.
With Belzer and Ponzi? I know you've never seen Night Shift. Fucking tremendous.
Wait. Oh, you go first.
No, go ahead, you.
Should I see The Road Warrior before I see Mad Max?
Which one? The original?
I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah. Watch the original. Mad Max, the first one is...
Second one's good.
Oh, the second one's tremendous. Yeah. That's my movie on the lam.
What's this one?
I was on the lam for like fucking a month. I watched that movie every day in Sarasota, Florida. In the 80s, what do you think, a new movie came in every Friday?
That's where my grandparents lived.
Yeah, I was in Sarasota on the lam down there. when Sarasota sucked. No, watching a Road Warrior.
Oh, War Warrior, yeah.
And next to it was the original First Blood.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because First Blood was
a good movie.
First Blood was a great movie. Yeah. Then First Blood 2, Rambo 2, 85. Yeah, yeah. That's a great movie, too. Not the whole time, but that's a fucking great movie.
What were you getting ready to ask?
No, I already asked. Oh. I said, because I've never seen any of them, so I want to.
Well, listen, I would see the Mad Max in theater. That won't affect you seeing the other ones.
But I understand it.
Not at all. Yeah, it doesn't.
Don't watch Mad Max Live at Thunderdome. That was a fucking horror show. Terrible. But here's what was going through. You know, Road Warrior came out in 1982. You know what I was into in 1982?
Huh.
I wanted to kill somebody. And I was stealing, and I was doing blow every night. And a band by the name of Judas Priest had put out a tremendous fucking album.
Oh, you love Judas Priest.
Calling Heading Out to the Highway. I got nothing to lose at all. That was it. I think they put out Screaming for the Vengeance first. Screaming for the Vengeance. See what that is. See if I'm right there. It's either Heading Out to the Highway. And so all this shit together, these guys, you know, Road Warriors guys in leather jackets.
Yeah.
That was Judas Priest. The guy that they stick the fucking axe in it, the thing in his head, what's that thing they were throwing around? That little kid. That little fucking kid with the long hair. That's what my daughter looks like. My daughter looks just like that fucking kid.
So you want to know the albums they had?
Yeah, in 81, what came out? Screaming for the Vengeance was 82.
How many albums do you think they put out?
Who, Judas Priest?
Yeah.
By this time, I stopped.
No, right now, how many do you think they put out?
Oh, they put, I don't know, Turbo. I stopped after Screaming for the Vengeance. When was that, 83?
82.
How many albums did they put out?
I tapped that. Heading Out to the Highway was 81. Hellbent, British Steel, Hellbent for Leather. Those are my albums.
Wait, did you?
17.
Yeah. 17 albums?
And I tapped out after I had the first one, which isn't bad.
Rock-a-Roller.
Rock-a-Roller with Cheetah. I had the second one,
Sad Wings of Destiny.
That's a great one. Then I had Unleashed in the East.
You skipped a bunch.
What did I skip? Sad Wings of Destiny.
Sin After Sin.
Sin After Sin's a good one.
And then Stained Glass. British Steel.
Never got into Judas Priest.
Hellbent for Leather.
What was your favorite? Because I never got into them at all.
Here's what happened.
Wait, that's heavy.
My mom
metal.
Died. I was a little fucked up. I was into Black Sabbath. I was into the car. I was into a lot of shit. And I had this dude in my fucking study class who dropped a fucking CD on me one day, a cassette of Unleashed in the East. And I was blown away. I was like, holy shit. If they're this good live. And then they played the Ritz. No, they played the other one in New York City, which was like a movie theater. I had to go. Tickets were $12.50. Why wouldn't I go on a Saturday night? So November 29, 1979. Look it up. Judas Priest Tour 1979. They were at the Palladium in New York City. Watch. November 29th. Watch. And I'll tell you why I remember that day.
Wait.
I smacked the motherfucker when I got off that bus.
Like you.
Judas Priest 1979.
No, I am. The computer's fucking up. Hold on.
Your computer's fucking up.
Yeah.
That's just to let you know how good my memory is. Because I got away with it. So if the cops ever came looking for me, they were going to go November 28th. I thought I was going to beat them. November 29th. And I went to see him at the Palladium. And when that motherfucker came out with a motorcycle.
He rode on stage in a motorcycle?
And that time he had a whip.
Oh, yeah.
And he would start whipping those guitar players. He wouldn't whip them. He'd whip at the floor. Right. And go whoosh, and he'd be playing the guitar. I lost my mind. And I knew right there he was gay. But his voice was so good. You know, it didn't matter to me. It didn't really matter to me whether he was gay or not. He was fucking badass, you know? And after that, I was sold. I was into them. I was into a bunch of bands. I went to see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. They were phenomenal.
They were great.
They were phenomenal. Yeah. With Stevie Nicks in 82.
But he's still, he can still play.
Dog, listen to me. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers are one of the best American bands of all time.
Yeah.
And if you got an argument with that, I'll sit you down and school you for fucking hours. First of all, do you know who taught Tom Petty how to play the guitar?
Who?
The guitar player from the Eagles in fucking Jacksonville, Florida. The good one. The good one. Not Glenn Frey and not that fucking Joe Walsh. The one they threw out. The junkie. The one that lives by you in Calabasas. Whatever. He lives in Calabasas.
Who?
In fact, you want me to tell you who he's You don't want me to tell you who his daughter's? You want me to tell you who his daughter's?
I was just waiting for you. I was waiting
you
for
you.
You
want me to tell you who? What's going on over there with the car?
I don't know.
You want me to tell you who is the guitar player from the Eagles' daughter? Her fucking father-in-law is Caitlyn.
Caitlyn?
Bruce Jenner.
Oh.
If you ever watch that show, the son from his first wedding has a blonde daughter.
Yeah.
That's the guitar player from the Eagles' daughter up in Calabasas. They threw his ass out, but his number one, listen, the best music in this country, proven, is that part of the country.
Calabasas?
No. Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville, Florida has offered this country the best music there is to offer.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Two bands.
Who?
Leonard Skinner and the Allman Brothers. Can't top them motherfuckers.
Okay.
That's as dirty and as real and as fucking dirty as it gets.
I'm going to tell you something right now. On the way over here, I listened to Whipping Post.
Oh, please. How good?
Oh, my God.
How good?
But it goes right fucking through.
I'm not hearing it, and I'm feeling it through my bones.
That beginning of it is, it's amazing.
And that shit live from the Fillmore, all those albums of them.
Yeah.
When fucking Santana would follow him. I had a teacher that would tell me the stories. He goes, I went to see the Allman Brothers, Santana, and somebody else for like $3.
Now, Lee, before you started this podcast, did you have any idea who any of those bands were?
I've heard of them, but no, I don't. Well, I would never know. Like,
what's going on?
Okay,
with the tour?
Listen.
Okay, I didn't know if we were still talking about it.
Yeah, what's going on with the tour? I want to test my memory.
I'll look it up now.
Out of all of the bands that he's introduced you to, which one do you like the most?
None of them.
No. Wait, what's the one that Rumors, that album?
Fleetwood Mac.
Really?
He got me.
How crazy.
I bought that album.
When? You did?
You were playing it one night in the car on the way to like a show, and I bought it. I actually bought it for my mom.
And what album? What songs did you like?
I really like female singers.
Oh, me too. I like chick singers.
I can't remember the name. Right, I'm way too
Sarah.
High. Sure.
Sarah. Well, if you don't love me now, you will never love me again.
That's a
fucking jam. Dog, I was in the eighth grade when that album came out. This kind of, you know who I'm embarrassed about? You know who I really get embarrassed about?
Ugh.
Out of Led Zeppelin. You know, listen, I get it. But I tell you who I feel really bad for that they don't know the power of.
Who?
Elton John.
Well, Elton John he's a monster.
But
though.
No, but these guys, the new youth of America, looks at Elton John and goes, Joey,
I know.
Please don't play Elton John ever again.
Yeah.
I don't even play him. People throw rocks at me when I play him on the podcast.
Stop. Even like 70s Elton John?
Oh, they hate that. Hate that.
This like new, what? What songs have you played on there they don't like?
Dog.
How can you not like Crocodile Rock?
Listen. There's
Do they fucking hate it?
Funeral for a Friend. You know, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. The only one they really will pay attention to is the one from Almost Famous.
When Tiny Dancer.
They love that. But it's nobody knows about Philadelphia Freedom. Nobody knows about
The
Hello,
Pitch is Back.
Baby, hello. Haven't seen your face for a while. Oh, shit.
But wait.
Have you stopped doing time for me? Or am I just the same old child? Are you fucking kidding me? Bang, 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 bang. Hello. I said hello. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Put that fuck. Now, what'd you find out?
So what date are you looking for?
November 29th, 1979. Where were they?
Do you have their tour schedule up from 1979?
Yeah, you can find everything.
I'm trying. I think I have it.
Oh, can you believe this? This is 2 hours. Three computers.
They don't have November up on this.
He has three computers.
I'll keep looking. November 29th, 1973, you think?
November 20th. Look, all you got to put in there is Judas Priest tour schedule, 1979.
I did.
Go ahead. Put it up and it'll come right up. I do this all the fucking time when I check stories. I don't want to be telling people the wrong fucking date because they'll check it out on YouTube. These kids today.
Yeah, but here's the deal. But you remember dates better than anyone.
Hellbent for Leather tour?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
You remember dates better than anyone I've ever met, especially how much weed you smoke. Like your memory for dates is fucking crazy.
It says they were in Europe.
November 29th, 1979.
Hold on.
Are you fucking crazy?
Yeah, they were in Europe.
No. That's a wrong fucking tour.
Okay.
I'll do it later, you fucks. Now you got me on. Because I even bought you know how I remember the date? Because I bought the Underground album.
I'm probably too high.
I bought the fucking Underground album.
I was never into Judas Priest. at all. I don't. And you like his voice. I don't like that. I don't
listen. That's not for me. That's not for me. Don't.
That's like, you know what? Like, look, I have a lot of my friends who like Rush.
Oh God,
I can't listen to Rush.
Oh, I can't listen to that motherfucker. I went to see him. I walked.
You went to see the concert
with Rush and.
I can't do yet Rush or Yes, Joey. Like, to me, both those bands,
I'm
going to
tell you something. I like Roundabout, and I like, I went to see Yes. That was one of my first shows.
I don't like that dude's voice.
Yes would come to the Garden for six nights in the 70s. That's how many tickets they sold. Yes would show up the week that school started, every year, September 3rd to the 9th.
Yeah, but listen, if when they play, it's okay, you like Roundabout. What are you doing for the other hour and a half?
I don't know.
You're not, I mean, they don't have an hour and a half for worth of good music.
Long distance, run around, long time waiting.
But that dude's voice, too, I can't do it. Close to Rush for me, too.
I'll tell you who I hated, Breakfast in America. That album has sold billions of dollars.
You talking about Cheap Trick?
No, Breakfast in America. Da-na-na, 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 da-na-na. Hey, please put on Elton John.
Which
say
song?
hello. Put on harmony for Josh Bull. I want you to hear his voice.
You know what I love? I love how you found the song. You would need to find the word.
Listen to this motherfucker. Harmony.
Dude, I got this.
Go, this is beauty. This is fucking beauty here.
I don't know if this is live or not.
Is this you're gonna be your first time hearing the song, Lee?
Probably. Unless he's put it in the car on the way somewhere.
Listen. I know you'll never see this movie. I'm going to see Ted.
I'm too.
Listen. Baby,
hello. Oh, yeah. Haven't seen your face for a while. Have you quit doing time for me?
Or are you still the same?
Fuck. Hello. Every time.
What? How does that happen?
I'm just trying to switch cameras.
Look, he was right in the middle of his groove.
I know.
His shoulders were going up and down. Lee, his shoulders were bobbing. He was in it, and then it's like you pulled that needle.
They don't like it. Their people don't like it. They don't dig it. What's the best song he did? Your song. I put your song on it. They want to throw me off Facebook.
No, really. They don't like him?
They don't like it. It's too fucking real for them.
I will tell you something right now, though. If that came out right now, it would not be considered rock and roll.
Harmony.
If that came out right now, that would be like an easy listening.
Yeah, that's what Caitlyn would play at her wedding. Caitlyn Jenner.
I would tell you right now, if
but you were right. She did come out and show it.
She showed her pussy?
Not her pussy, but herself.
I don't give a fuck. I want to see her pussy. I want to know where the old dick went. And I want to see the pussy.
I don't think she's had an operation.
She didn't got the operation yet. She's a fucking pussy. Fuck him. Why are we wasting our fucking oxygen on that fucking Momo?
I don't know. You brought her up like three times.
Somewhere Kris Jenner is with Kanye West. And the other cunty daughter going, I didn't know he was going to go for it. Oh, my God. They're like, I can't believe you brought it up. I didn't know he was going to go for it. You know what I'm saying? Who would have thought? I know Kris Jenner did it. Kris Jenner talked him into it. Kris Jenner is the devil's daughter, though.
I think she's I don't think she's a good person, Kris Jenner, but I think the woman's been thinking about it for years.
Yeah, when he went to the Olympics and he saw all those dicks, he's like, you know what? I got to switch governments so I could be an Olympic dick sucker or whatever the fuck he switched governments for. I don't fucking know, man.
Who switched governments? What are you talking about?
Bruce Jenner switched governments. He gave his dick up. You never give your dick up.
Governments.
You can't be switching governments like that. I don't give a fuck what you're feeling inside. Buy a fucking harp. You know what I'm saying? And floating around like a cherub. But you're going to switch governments. And now this is
the term switch governments.
Dog, let me tell you something. You know how many fucking people lining up to get their dicks cut off now, right now as we speak, because of this movement now? Everybody wants to be a transgender now.
Let me just say something. If somebody doesn't want to have a dick, who cares? But then they should give that dick to someone who needs it.
Wait till Jakey calls you up in 2 years from college and says, I went to eat some chick's asshole and she had a dick there. That's what it's going to affect this generation growing up. They're going to be taking people home with a big black fucking dick in between their fucking legs.
Then I'll, you know what? I'll have to.
I was single right now and I was 25 and I was crazy like I was when I was 25,
yeah.
That's what I'd do. I'd get tits and get a wig and get a big fucking dick put on me right between my legs and just go to bars and pick up dumb fucks and make them suck my dick all fucked up.
What?
That's what he, if he was your age, that's what he'd be doing right now.
You guys don't know how to have fun.
He basically just called you a pussy.
You motherfuckers want to stay home and watch computers and shit. I get a big black dick stapled on.
Listen, you obviously, Lee, you don't know what fun is until you get a big black dick stapled on your body.
With tits. Make somebody suck your dick and squeeze your tits at the same time, and they're all confused. Felipe took that chick home in Houston that had a dick. She had a clit.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, Tricky Nikki. That's her name. Was Nikki.
You.
But he called her Tricky. I'll call Felipe right now.
Wait.
She was an aphrodisiac. What's those people?
Oh, hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite. Yeah. She was one of those things.
She had one of both.
One of both. And he had in the jacuzzi. You never heard that? He burnt the curtains at the Intercontinental.
What?
You never heard that?
No.
I got a call from Pete Monday, Joey. We got to talk. Your friend Felipe. He was ordering spoons from room service.
Oh, that's never a good sign.
Nobody orders spoons.
Just spoons? Yeah.
Excuse me, room service. Can you bring up 3 spoons? After like the 10th spoon, they're like, listen, what's going on up there?
Yeah.
I looked it up. Nobody ordered more. He broke Richard Pryor's record in 1971 for spoons.
I mean,
from room service.
Listen, if you order a spoon by itself, you at least got to try to be tricky and be like, can I get another bowl of ice cream?
Can I get an ice cream
spoon? Yeah.
You have any baking soda down there? I got a weird odor in my asshole. Who orders baking soda from room service? Fucking tremendous.
That is. So he almost burnt down the curtains?
He did something. When he found out she had a dick, too, I would burn down the fucking curtains, too. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting my groove on at the Continental in Houston in the jacuzzi in my room.
I told you about this girl that I went out with, and she was beautiful. And I sucked her left tit, and then I went to her right, and I thought I had one of my hairs in my mouth. So I went to pull it back. And as it came out of my mouth, I saw it was still attached to her.
Oh, I love that.
She had one long hair on her nipple. And I tried to pull it because I thought it was loose. Like, and she goes, oh. And I was like, oh. I go, oh, do you want me to get rid of that? She was like, no, I like it. And I go, what? And she goes, I like it. It gives me character. And I was like,
Oh, please. I mean, she lifts weights.
Just one, it was like curly and coarse. And it really threw me because we'd be together, right? And I'd have that left tit in my mouth, and she'd try to edge me over to the right one, but I knew that's where Gargamel lived, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, I can't go over to that right one. I couldn't have it. It was not good for me. You would probably like that. You would bite that motherfucker off.
I'd bite that
motherfucker off. First thing.
And then you'd show her your big black dick, and you'd like, look at my tits.
That's a weird combination, Joey.
What's that, brother?
The tits, the wig, and the big black dick.
Oh, can you imagine?
What's wrong with your dick?
Nothing. I'm just saying that's what you do. Nobody wants a white dick. What's better than being white and having a big black dick and them looking at you like, where'd you get that from? You know what I'm saying? Like, where'd you get that from? It's a black dick.
When is the last time? Because there was a string at the Comedy Store. There was a string of maybe 6 months where when you had your nuts out on stage.
Oh, the last time I took my nuts out was 10 years ago.
Yeah, during that time in the store?
Yeah, it was 10 years ago. I put my nuts on people.
At shows?
I would have a pair of jeans with holes.
Yeah.
Just to throw people
off. And he would bring the nut out through the hole in the jeans.
And just leave them out in the store and sit there.
And gradually wait for people to see it.
And watch people walk by and look at it and go, you know, your nuts out of your pants. Yeah. Fucking hysterical.
The best part is you would be standing next to people with your nuts out. And they had no idea. Some of them would just talk to you like a regular night.
Couldn't fucking handle it.
I tried to find the cover for our documentary and it's nowhere. Like, I can't find it on Google. His balls.
They took it off?
I couldn't find it. I tried to search everything.
Wait, how could they take it off?
No, because it has his nuts on it.
But there aren't pictures of nuts on Google?
I don't know.
Payloads probably has it on there.
I'll have to check there. I don't know if we uploaded the balls one. I think
Lee, Google naked nuts, and you're going to get a ton of naked nuts.
I'm okay.
So I don't know why, not that I've Googled that before, by the way.
Yes, you have. You're sitting there one night going, Jesus Christ.
You know what?
You know, the main reason, it's funny, because the main reason I wanted you to come on the show is because I'm going to Denver and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny. I was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, 95? What the fuck? Because that's how I always think. I always go to myself, all right, 2015, 2005, what was I doing? Oh, all right, The Longest Yard came out in May.
Mm-hmm.
I was living on Schrade. I was doing spots. I was snorting a ton of fucking coke.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go, okay, 95, what was I doing? And you're like, holy fuck. I was just leaving Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I found out in May that I got banned. I went to Michigan. I met Carol. I went home. Yeah. And maybe 2 weeks later, I was gone.
Yeah.
Once she sucked my dick, I was gone. That's it. I was done. Yeah. I was good to go. And I went to Seattle, and I went to the club on Saturday, and I looked around in the daytime, and it was during the Hitler Festival. What was the festival they had up there?
I don't think it was the Hitler Festival. Oktoberfest?
No. Remember, they had a festival every year of Lenny Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
Heirs of Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, it wasn't the Hitler Festival.
So that's
a whole different festival.
That's a whole different feel.
Yeah. I heard Seattle was nice.
Yeah, listen, yeah, the Heirs of Lenny Bruce, a different festival than the Hitler Bruce. Festival, yeah.
And I remember looking at the poster and going, wow, the Heirs of Lenny Bruce. And then
it was like James Inman and all those guys.
Calling on Monday and them saying there's an open mic, mm-hmm. going down to the open mic. And there you showed up with a hat and you had to leave because you were working at Lobo Loco. You mm-hmm. couldn't do the whole open mic. You had to run back. And I remember you gave me a number and I must have called you till you decided.
178 times.
I don't have the money to change my number right now. I'm going to might as well call this guy back. And here we are 20 years later.
Now listen,
20 fucking years, guys. 20 years. Doing comedy.
I hired him also to work at this club I was working at.
At fucking Fetish Night.
So Fetish Night, there were these two older guys dressed in like...
Umbrellas.
Yeah, but it was funny umbrellas. Because they had those little parasols. That's what they're called. Yeah. They had those little parasols, right? And they were started to get into a fight. And I go, Joe, you got to get him out of here.
Sorry about that, guys.
I go, Joe, you got to get him out of here. And he's like, okay. And he walks over, he goes, guys, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And you grab one of them by the arm, and the other one starts hitting you with the parasol. And you, all you could do was, it wasn't hurting you. No. You were laughing hysterically. Yeah. You were like, is this,
it's getting hot.
This is how it goes down in Seattle.
Oh my God.
I'm going to be fine here. You drag those two old dudes out in dresses, both of them smacking you with their parasols. You laughing hysterically. And I just remember you saying, You two have a good night. And that was it. You fucking kicked him out. And you were like, that was the funniest fucking thing I've ever
Nobody
seen.
Ever hit me with a fucking umbrella. I always got hit with like a bottle or a stick or something.
Oh, and two of them were going at it. You let go of me. But that place, look, Lobo Loco, that was a great hole for us. Do you know what I mean?
No, it fed us. Yeah, it was great.
You know what I mean?
The mole chicken.
Oh, yeah.
The chocolate mole chicken that kid made was fucking delicious.
I remember I learned a good lesson in that kitchen because I was helping him one day. And, you know, I helped him in the kitchen with doing nachos. And I learned that after you touch jalapenos, before you take a leak, always wash your hands.
Yeah, you always wash your hands.
My dick was on fire for like 30 minutes. On fire. I couldn't – because I couldn't stick my dick in the sink at work. Do you know what I mean? So as soon as I walked out of there, I was walking around that bar. My dick was on fire. It was terrible. Have you ever done?
Oh no, Bengay is the same difference.
Oh my God.
You rub Bengay in your knee, then you bang one out. And next thing you know, you're like, this dream is real than what it is. You know what I'm saying? This fantasy's going somewhere. Mind over matter. My dick is on fire. When I met you, you had the Nintendo thing.
Yep.
You were a feature act.
Yep.
You had a couple things going on. We all did Donna Richards' work.
Yeah.
If you knew now what you knew then, would you have stuck it out the next 20 years? I mean, we just went through 20 years, Joshua. You know, some of those years were slow. Some of those years were, but we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Carol has sucked 80 cocks since we last seen her, and we're still here.
Yeah.
Do you understand me? The You know, Mark Madison's gone. Gavin's out of the game. Jane Inman lives in New York being fucking Roger Paul's computer guy.
Listen.
It's something. The guy with the handcuff that killed himself with the black jacket that would come with the handcuff.
Yeah.
Think of the people on this journey. The fucking, when we did the fucking room, the black room on Gower, where the only one who, me, you, and the kid with the guitar.
Yeah.
Who was the black kid? Corey.
No, not Holcomb.
Corey Miller. Corey Miller, me, you, and Pierre. And who else? There was somebody else.
Oh, my God.
at that fucking Bowers, Browners.
No, it was the Gower. You talking about Gower Gulch?
No, we did the fucking bar off of Selma where I used to live. Bouchers. Bouchers.
Yeah.
Bouchers. Yes, Bouchers. And it had a back room, like a back. You had to go all the way to the fucking back.
We did some fucking really... Listen, the rooms I remember you taking me to were the ones in East L.A. with Willie Barsena and Rudy Felipe Moreno.
Rudy. We did the Brave Bull.
And I was always the only white person there.
And then,
but that, by the way, those rooms made me better like 100 times.
Room in Chino on Sunday
nights. Chino.
That we wouldn't get back till 3 in the fucking morning. And they Chino wanted Hills. To give us blow and fucking pills. And we had to drive from Chino.
You know who else? You know who booked that with me? Danny Kelly.
Danny fucking Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, you think of this journey. Like, there's nights you get home and it's 1 in the morning and the fucking, you're playing with the cats and you're like, I'm not even going to turn the TV on. I got to fucking think about it.
Yeah.
What just happened? What just fucking happened? I was at the Comedy Store and Whitney Cummings and Mark, you know, and you're sitting there going, I still remember being in an office hoping that one day I could co-headline at Seattle fucking Underground. Like,
trying to figure out how you can talk somebody into letting you MC for the weekend. For the weekend. MC for the weekend. So you could get 10 minutes of stage time. Listen, dude, I think about those first lineups when we went down to the Comedy Store. Before we were regulars, right? And those lineups, you look at those cards, none of them are there. There's nobody left from those lineups. You know what I mean? It's amazing to think all of the people that we've encountered, but the only people left, and Brody.
Brody.
And Brody.
May you Brody Lahai? I don't know if he does stand-up anymore.
No, Tana.
Tana was here for a while, did the show with Brody.
But yeah.
But
I can say the same thing for you, man, because here's the thing. There was a time, probably around 2005, maybe 2004, I was like, this cat's going to be dead in a year.
No, I know.
Going to be dead in a year. And you not only did you not die, but you, we were talking about this the other day on the phone, like, there aren't too many guys at your age whose careers are taking off at such a fucking rate. That's not, you brought up Rodney Dangerfield. That's it, man.
Ron White.
But here's the thing that is the most admirable is that I don't know that I've ever seen anybody work as hard, not only to get to where they are, but to really find, look, this podcast is what you were made to do. But you tried and did everything, dude, and you landed here, and here's another thing that fucking amazes me about you. You live about as freely as anybody I know. And what I mean by that is you're not beholden to anybody. You do and create what you want to create without fear of what other people think. That's living, but that's living free. Dude, one of the reasons that people love to listen to you is because they're like, they want to live like you, dude. They want to be free. You're completely free in what you say and how you act and what you want to create. That's living with total freedom. And most of us, there's a part of our brains who say, oh, I shouldn't say that, or I shouldn't act this way. Do you know what I'm saying? You don't have any of that shit.
No, I don't have time.
You don't have any of that shit.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
Especially now. Now I'm like.
But that's what I'm saying,
20
dude.
Years ago, I would have thought about it. Like, no. If you pulled me aside and go, Joe, you can't say word faggot. I would have said, really? Now I have no time for, I'm not going to change at this age. I think that I've always had that freedom. Like, I've always created that freedom to myself. That's what I had over a lot of people because I was really free. I had no parents. I had nobody to answer to. I had no adult supervision. Listen, I could tell you guys that when I was 12, I had no adult supervision.
Yeah.
She just trusted me. To do what I had to do. Did you stop and get the milk with the 20 I gave you? Yeah. Did you get the steaks? Did you pick up the lobster tank? Yeah. She would leave me money to go pay the electric bill. I did all that shit on my own. There was no, like, web page or fucking Google.
Yeah.
It was on 50 fucking Fifth Street, all right? There was no Uber. You know what I'm saying? You live on 39th. It's on 55th. Do the math. You got a 16 fucking block walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Both ways plus the hill. So, you know, we were talking about, all right, something like Dave Chappelle. You become a stand-up not to have a job.
Right.
Okay? And all of a sudden, you have a job. You have a job. And you have a job on TV. And people had all these allegations against Dave Chappelle. You know, he was doing crack, and he was doing this, and he was doing that. But the first thing he did was, one day he goes, I'm not taking notes from some guy that went to Syracuse.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it. I'm not taking notes from Comedy Central on how to do my show.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. You know what? Cancel me. I'm walking away from this. You cannot tell me what to do. You guys went to college to do what I'm doing.
But here's the thing, man. It takes such balls to say that for most people, because the risk of losing your job
and
what you have is right. But as you go, especially in this fucking town, as you get older, you learn there is no reward without the risk. There is no reward without the risk. There just isn't. And you may lose something, but if you win that risk, it's going to be a fucking great reward. But you have to. Nothing great ever happens by playing it safe, right? So, I mean, and that's the deal, especially here, man. Especially, look, that's why I say what you're doing, you don't, and when you, the fact that you don't give a fuck. Look, there are people on stage who aren't as dirty as you that people consider dirty comics. Do you know why? Because they're not honest. It's just dirty to be dirty. People don't get offended. Even people who don't know who you are, when there's such an honesty and truth to that person on stage, that you're not offended by it. Does that make sense? So you're not offended by it at all. And so that's what I'm saying, man, is people listen to you and fucking watch you because it's complete truth. No matter what you're, and passion, dude. I've never seen anyone get so passionate about Judas Priest. I thought you were going to fucking have a heart attack.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah,
this is what you believe in. This is what you like. This is what you have to fucking do. And you have to stand your ground. You know, I saw a lot of, I never wanted to be a part of the pack. That was my main thing as a kid. Okay, we're talking about my friend Avila. Let me tell you the background to my friend. I have a great, dear friend, Steve Avila. But Steve Avila was a younger guy, but he had two older brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And those two older brothers and all their 16 friends listened to the Kinks. Now, personally, I think the Kinks have 5 good songs. Yeah. Everything after that, I want to stick a fucking gun in my mouth.
I agree with that.
They listen to bands like the Good Rats from Jersey, who whatever. They were terrible.
Right.
But in the same thing, they listen to Black Sabbath. They listen to a lot of music I dug. He turned me on to Pink Floyd, Avila. He really turned me on to Wish You Were Here, the album. So he had good albums and he had fucking bad albums. I thought growing up, a lot of the shit Avila listened to was because his friend listened to. And in my heart, I think that 50% of what people do, especially now, in this society, it's even higher. We're up 70% that they want to be and act and look like everybody else.
Okay, but you know why, right?
Why?
Well, because it's safer. If you stick out, then you're leaving yourself open, in some people's eyes, for ridicule. If you stick out, if you're different. On the other hand, the people who are different are, creatively especially, are the best at their fucking jobs. Do you know what I mean? So you're not noticed in that 70%. That's why they do it, because they're scared to be noticed. You know?
I just don't want to look.
Dude, listen.
It drives me crazy.
You don't have to tell me.
It drives me crazy.
But you figured that out a long time ago.
I figured it out when I was in eighth grade.
I
would look at people and go, this guy's a follower. This guy likes this band because of this guy.
Yeah.
This guy likes this because of this fucking.
But also, moral. Dude, it also
drives me crazy.
Also, it's sometimes
drives me crazy.
Sometimes it's easy to be a leader some places and a follower in other parts of your.
I life. Don't want you to be a leader. I want a person to have his own head. That's what I never understood. How I would be at these concerts, like there was this dude. He looked like the fucking drummer from Pat Benatar. So we used to call him Myron Grombacher right to his fucking face. Remember when we were growing up, Pat Benatar was huge, and they had this ratty-looking guy on the drums who looked like a fucking rat. People say he's a great drummer. I always thought he looked like, but there was a German kid in our town, Otto Sauer.
Yeah.
And he went to every concert. Otto was the first guy you saw at a concert, coming out with his eyes stoned. You know, now, listen, he did all that shit to be cool. He was a little ratty-looking motherfucker. Mm-hmm. But there's times 8 of us would go. Now, me and my friends were fucking music technicians. The guys I hung out with, like I hung out with these killers, but then I get together with these other guys that were big guys, mm-hmm. They did coke and they ran. But my whole life with them, they had reel-to-reels in their house. Like they were into music.
Right.
And they'd be looking at me after every song like, this sucks, bro. Listen to the guitar. He fucked up this. Like, they were professionals.
Yeah.
So I picked that up. I'm like, that's right. This sucks. And we'd walk out of there, and we'd say this sucks. But guess who we'd bump into? Otto. We'd go, let's ask Otto how the concert was. We'd make believe. Like, we'd see him at the bus station. He'd go, where are you guys coming from? Were you at the Led Zeppelin show? No, 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 no. We were over there copping some blow. How was it? Oh, man. It was the best show we ever went to, him and his little buddies. And me and my gorilla friends would look at them and start just calling them out. Like, the fucking guitar was off and fucking this. The bass was off and this. You didn't see the light buck up? And he would go, okay, yeah, they sucked. And right there, I would look at him and go, that's society. Look at what we have in our society now. When you and I were growing up in Boston, even Lisa, at, your father worked where? Joshua.
My father, when I was growing up, my father didn't have a job most of the time.
Okay, right. So your mom had a job.
Yeah.
So your mom's a nice lady. I doubt she stopped at the fucking diner to get a coffee black with a little sugar in it.
No.
When we were growing up, everybody stopped at the diner. And they had places where the coffee was diesel fuel.
Yeah.
And they had places where it was Folgers for Gentiles. It was like iced tea. Nothing happens. You could drink 8 cups. Nothing happens.
That's like that fucking Cuban coffee.
When I drink coffee, I want to see fucking Pluto. Like, I want to feel jittery
and
shit.
That's like fucking Cuban coffee.
No, no. I just want to fuck it. I want it to be black and thick. But all that shit costs. When your mom used to stop you, then your mom worked at the school system.
Yeah.
She'd stop and she'd get a black coffee. It's 50 cents.
Yeah.
And they give you 3 sugars and a little cream and everybody's happy. All of a sudden now, coffee's $4.50 a cup. $6, $8. And the whole thing is like, you ever see people take pictures? Who doesn't have a beer bottle in their hand? Nothing bothers me more. That's why I don't drink.
Why? Because people with a beer bottle?
Let's take a picture. Guys like Gavin, they always come up to you with their anthem, their flag. That shit drives me fucking nuts. So now what is it? It's the Starbucks. God forbid somebody shows up at the office at 9 and they don't have Starbucks. The first motherfucker that shows up with 7-Eleven, which is the best coffee, unless you got the ISIS 7-Eleven. It's like, no, they don't let you do your own thing. Like the one I go to, they don't let you do your own thing.
You still clipping lighters?
I clipped one about a month ago, and the one I'm
just for old time's sake.
Just you got to
keep fresh. If he's
gonna
fresh.
If he's gonna have the balls to take that pizza out, I'm gonna rob a lighter.
When he
I'm here. I'm right here.
Yeah, you
gonna go get the pizza now? I don't give a fuck if it burns. I don't want no fucking Iranian pizza. Come over here right now. If not, they put the lighters right here.
Yeah, yeah.
I always hit the thing for the e-cigarette.
Yeah.
I go, let me get two of them. And right here on this hand movement. Think, think, boom.
Let me tell you something, Lee. At the 7-Eleven on Sunset and Curson.
Oh my God.
Joey used to wave his hand over the left hand over here, and the cashier would look over there, and the right hand would be like doing shit that with lighters. He's like, you want some M&Ms? Lighters. I mean, those whatever, like small Bibles. He took whatever the fuck was up there.
It was really a sleight of hand trick. You understand what I just did? I tap on the glass, and on the way down, I take the lighter and I put it in my hand. It's not stolen yet. When he comes to me and asks me how much, as I go in and reach for my wallet, I drop the lighter and I pop out the wallet. Come on, guys. You can't. This is the best.
I used to live with that shit all the time.
When I used to live with Danny Kelly and Josh Wolf lived Don Vista.
Lived with Danny?
Yeah, in that apartment building when his girlfriend left him.
Oh,
and he got stuck with the $2,000 bill. And I lived in a corner with a towel.
Yeah.
And I slept on top of my clothes. I just put my clothes down, and I would sleep on top of my fucking clothes. Unbelievable. There was no curtains in the window.
No.
I woke up when it woke up. And I would pop out. I would take a shower.
And he used to walk down Sunset with those white Nikes with the red stripes. And walk with his cup of coffee in his thermos.
Me?
Danny Kelly.
Oh, Danny Kelly. No,
in his fucking thermos.
I'm talking about me. I would walk from Danny Kelly's and I would go to the Iranians gas station.
Yeah, you stole more from him.
Oh, my God. And he'd always be outside pumping gas or fixing the car. I'd have a dollar. I'd go in and buy a piece of gum. But I'd stick my hand behind the counter and take a pack of cigarettes out and put it in my, who steals cigarettes from behind the counter? That was my fucking, that's how I got cigarettes in the morning. I would steal his fucking cigarettes.
Listen.
Did he memorize where the ones you wanted were?
Yeah, right there. I would take like Reds too. Fuck it. Then I would walk to Josh Wolf's house as he was, I knew his schedule. So I'd catch him when he was coming back. Bro, what'd you cook for breakfast? I got some leftover beans and a turkey burger.
You went from smoking 0 cigarettes a day to a pack a day. In a fucking day. You were like, I don't smoke. And then you smoked a pack. I like, how long have you been smoking? Today. You fucking just.
I started smoking Marlboro Ultralights at the Seattle Underground New Year's Eve with Doug Stanhope. I said, give me one of those. I can't take it no more.
Do you remember how smoky that fucking room used to get?
The thing I remember the most about the Underground was before you were going to go up, you stood by a pole. And if the guy was funny in front of you, you looked at the table behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were eating nachos, there was always a water bug on the nachos. And you could see his antennas moving. And the people would be looking at the comic. And they wouldn't see the water bug on their nachos.
I think people, you're talking, it was a cockroach.
Cockroach.
Wait, yeah.
Wait, why is there cockroaches on the nachos?
Because it's damp.
It was the dirtiest fucking basement. It was a dirty basement.
It was there for 2,000 years.
Okay? And they didn't clean shit.
Moses did comedy
there. Didn't clean shit.
They were too busy snorting coke. I mean, that place was a constant.
Are you fucking kidding?
I remember the day
Billy?
The waitress was doing heroin and was nodding on an open mic. She was nodding. The chink. The little Chinese girl that was banging.
Chinese girl.
Little Chinese girl that worked Monday. She had long brown hair.
I remember Sharon.
Sharon was his girlfriend, the white thing that had long legs from Boston. She looked like olive oil with a little bit of meat on her. But then you had a Chinese girl that had a little tan, and one Monday night, this bitch was nodding. And the rumor was that half that staff was starting to do a little heroin, that white heroin. It was all over the fucking place. But she was nodding. And I remember they had a door guy that worked that was like a hippie dude with little glasses.
Yeah.
That he used to work, and he told me that they asked her to get up that night. Because she was nodding. She was nodding on the heroin up there.
But they were all fucked up. Look, Swanee was fucked up. But the baseball players always came in, and they went down into the basement, and who knows what the fuck went on down there. But no, wait. I don't want to tell his name because I don't want to rat him out. But somebody who was playing on the Yankees at the time just sat down. I saw him take three ecstasies, just pop, pop, pop. He was like, I go, did you? And he goes, I'm not playing tomorrow. I was like, oh, fuck. All right. That whole thing was a dungeon of sin, dude. The Underground is where someone threw up on my fucking foot on stage, in the front row because they were so close. They were right fucking on you. Threw up on my foot and I had to take my shoes off. I looked like fucking Tom Sawyer. It was gross, and you could never get any smell out of that fucking because it was the basement. That basement smelled so bad.
It smelled like vomit.
Yeah, all the time.
But it was such a great comedy
room. Yeah, it was the best.
They had ages of people laughing in there, and the beauty, like just thinking about it, just talking about.
What's the highest you ever get in that contest?
Sixth. Aisha Taylor beat me.
She did.
Yep, Aisha Taylor.
Floyd J. Phillips.
But the thing about thinking about that was how I always thought I was going to die the next day. Like in those days when I was doing comedy, it always felt like I was buying an extra day. Like it always felt like I was just surviving, which I really was.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a feeling of desperation mixed with something else. And whenever it would hit you, you just overcome it by telling yourself you're going to go on stage. Just thinking about that feeling. It's not anxiety or nothing. It was just this feeling of getting ahead, like moving up the ladder, but you can't. You don't know. Like, I never thought I would move up the ladder.
But you know what I do miss from those days? I miss the feel, like, in the morning, the night I was going to go on stage, I couldn't fucking wait. In the morning when I woke up, I was so fucking excited to get on stage. And then after getting on stage, just sitting around shooting the shit with you guys and writing that whole, you know, in basically the infancy of our comedy. But that excitement to get on stage, I miss a little bit. I do. I miss it because it was so, so much fun. It was so much fucking fun. Because you were learning, every time you went on stage, you were learning something about, oh, I fucking do this kind of well. Oh, I don't do this well at all. Do you know what I mean? Everything was a discovery. I miss that fucking feeling a little bit from that time.
I miss the desperation feeling, the feeling of wanting more in a hurry. But I knew, like, I got to Seattle in June of 95. But what really saved me was June of 96. I saw Doug Stanhope.
Mm-hmm.
And that destroyed my insides. Like, I had been doing everything wrong till I saw Doug Stanhope. Like, right there, I knew exactly that night when I walked out of there what I wanted to do with my life. Like, I was like, that's the guy to beat.
Oh, he was killing.
That's as good as you could get right now at that time period. And that really helped me, watching that freedom he had on stage. There was no
complete freedom.
There was no convention.
Nope.
There was no fakeness to it. There was no, you know, when you see what's his name, yeah, it's a great
impersonation.
No, what's that one?
Who's what's his name?
Rant. The guy that was big in the 90s, that his brother books San Antonio and all that.
Dennis Miller?
Dennis Miller. You know, Dennis Miller rants are great, but he spent 9 hours on fucking looking at thesaurus to try to throw you off. When in those days when Doug Stanhope did it, it was from the gut. And he did all these things on stage, all these off things that I was like, I didn't know that you could do that. I didn't know. Once I saw that freedom on stage,
oh yeah,
everything else was bullshit. And then I went to the Comedy Store. And I saw, like, even Joe Rogan at that time was a little free. There was somebody else who was very free on stage. I said, that's the guy.
Who, Holtzman? Beat.
No. Holtzman was like me. We were free, but we weren't going anywhere. Rogan already had it figured out. Right. Stanhope had it figured out. It took me a couple years to figure it out. Those guys had already figured it out.
That was a time when I remember watching you where you would either go into a room and destroy it.
Or bomb.
Or crickets.
Yeah, that's it. It was 50-50.
There was no in between.
I had no control.
No,
I had nothing.
No, no.
I went
and
up
I could
there
never figure. By the way, I could never figure out why. I could never figure out why because I would watch you. And I'm like, he's doing the same thing. But either they bought it in 100% back then or fucking nothing. Yeah, nothing at all.
I used to die fucking deaths of death. I still remember every death in that original room, which hurts even worse than anything because this is what you work for. You can't die in the fucking original room. That's like dying in the Roman Colosseum. You're dead. There's no there's no farm team. Yeah, the gladiator, they had a little farm team. But that's it. Everything else is a farm team. That comedy, to die in there. And there's people following you that are sitting back there waiting for you to get off.
Watching you die.
Watching you die, and it's getting slower and deader. And finally somebody
goes, you can't
goes,
wait for that fucking light to blink on your left.
I'll never forget one night I said, this is killing me. And Joe Rogan yelled, you're killing me. And I'm like, you motherfucker. Like, I got off stage, and like that night I waited for him. I'm like, what the fuck was that? He's like, Joey, you're a funny guy. You can't do that. You cannot do that. You went up there, and you had no plan. It's fucking 11:30. It's 11:30 in the original room. You had no plan.
Yeah.
And that's when I would go up there and see what the guy in front of me would do. But there's some nights that don't work either.
Yeah.
I could run like that. You know, some nights I go to the Comedy Store now, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to try this joke. But then somebody in front of me leaves the door open somewhere, and bam, once I get in that door, you ain't getting me out of there. I'm like.
No, but I've also always said 15 or 20 minutes of you at the top of your game.
No, it's my world. Oh. I don't that 45 minute shit. I don't like doing it. I've told people on the podcast. I did comedy for 24. I'm doing comedy for 24 years. I became a headliner at the 21 year mark. There's a difference between doing comedy and being a headliner.
Yeah.
When you watch Ralphie May, he's a headliner. When you watch Greg Giraldo, he's a fucking headliner. There's a lot of guys that headline, but they're not headliners. They're great comics,
mm-hmm.
but they're not headliners. I just learned how to headline.
Dude,
it's a fucking different world.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different world. And you have to have a plan, a navigation. You have to have three different audibles to call.
Mm-hmm.
And then you gotta write in the daytime so your mind's loose.
I always try to write at least 5 minutes of material about the city I'm in. Or say something about it, or just to kind of
people know.
Yeah. People know I'm here. I'm paying attention. You know what I mean? Not always funny. Not always great. But I think it just lets them know that you're not only that you're writing today, which is always good. It's fresh, and that you're present. You know what I mean? You paid it. You came to our city. You paid attention. And now a lot of times the jokes suck a dick.
Boy, you ever go to a city, and the guy in front of you is destroying, and he's just doing city references.
Yeah.
And you have no idea. Yeah. You have no fucking idea. I'll never forget one time I went to Boston. I just come back from the store. Because comedy, you lose before you go up there. That's why I never look at the feature act in front of me. I sit in the green room. I don't give a fuck who he is. I don't want to see nothing that he does. He's got nothing to do with me. He's got a job to do. I got a job to do. But if I go out there and start judging people, mm-hmm. I lose the war. Oh, look at that old lady in the front row. God damn it.
I catch myself doing that.
God damn it. Look at those three fucking chicks. They're not going to like my stuff. That's it. You just lost.
I catch myself doing
that. You just lost.
Yep.
So now, as a professional, I don't even go. I don't want to see you. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
When I see you for the first time, I see you for the first time. That's why I don't want to get to the club early. I don't want to see those people.
Well, I hate waiting. I hate waiting. Yeah. You know what I do? You know what I do also sometimes? Like, look, if we went to the store, I also catch myself, and you're there with like somebody I respect, I catch myself thinking about my comedy more than I do when the, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm like, oh, it gets in my head. I'm like, well, fuck, I hope Joe thinks this is funny or whoever's down there. And I get in my own fucking head.
Yeah, no, you know? No. There comes a day where you go, I'm going to go up there and do my, and when you do that, it's you. It's your trademark.
Yeah.
Nobody else is doing that. So it's kind of, comedy is a great fucking thing to look back and analyze and see the lessons you've learned.
Uh-huh.
Like just the tricks. Like when you watch an old UFC fight and he beats like a young guy. And people are like, what? Well, he kept him against the cage. He tricked him.
There's definitely some comedy tricks.
I got tricks up my stay. I control my voice. My voice is everything. My voice tells, you know, when I first started comedy, Matt Woods used to say, Rodney Dangerfield tells you when to laugh.
Yeah, but
when he touches his tie.
He tells you when to laugh. Yeah, Don Rickles, I heard an interview with him once where he was like, when he was at his best, he would get the audience into a rhythm. And sometimes they started to laugh before the punchline because he had gotten them into the rhythm of when to laugh. He literally trained them when to laugh during a show.
If you watch any top profession at any level, and he's one of the top three in his division, they all have a rhythm in their game.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's A-Rod, whether it's...
Did you say A-Rod?
Yeah, him especially, I noticed, and I know, I'm just talking about baseball players. I'm not talking about, you know, I don't know who's on the fucking Red Sox no more.
No one.
You know, I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know, guys.
Troy and Ortiz.
Maybe Poppy's still around.
Yeah, he's around.
I know that the fucking Pedro, I've been seeing him. He's like an announcer or something.
Yeah, and he wrote a book, too.
Who the fuck? I can't. I'm Spanish, and I don't know what he's saying. Like, I'm fucking Spanish. You ever hear Pedro Martinez talk?
Hell yeah.
I have no fucking idea. What the fuck is he saying?
Like Latka?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he's saying. You know, I'm just saying Alex Rodriguez. Yeah. Him especially.
I'm glad we didn't get him.
If you get, like, A-Rod, if you get... What's the guy that retired?
Which one? Jeter?
Jeter. Mm-hmm. He had a rhythm.
Yeah.
Pete Rose.
Oh, you like Pete Rose.
Okay, you don't?
I do. He's going to get reinstated,
I think. Yes, he is. Yes, yeah, he is. He had a rhythm. Julius Erving had a rhythm. Larry Bird. Yeah. White dude had a tremendous rhythm.
What about like Ray Allen and stuff? Ray Allen,
you know,
Paul Pierce.
Even Kevin McHale and his fucking...
Oh, he was the best with his 37 moves before he shot it.
You know, he had
his 87 pump fakes.
You know, when you watch good jiu-jitsu, it's a rhythm. When you watch like Eddie Bravo, it's on. Can I talk?
Yeah.
And you see him like picking his toenail and taking the dirt out of his ear. Then it's on again.
Yeah.
And then it's off for a minute. Then it's on. Then he grab it. And everybody chills out. You could do it. You could see Eddie on the bottom, like looking around the clock. He has 200-pound guys on top. Don't matter.
It's crazy.
He's in a rhythm. He's breathing. He's just. And that's the rhythm. And that's what a comic. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll start laughing him before you get there.
Yeah,
you know?
Because you're anticipating where the punchline is.
Where the punchline is. Absolutely. Very interesting. Very interesting.
But it's definitely a fucking art. And I will tell you something right now. And I have to go soon because Beth keeps texting me. But I'll tell you something right now. I experiment every time I'm on stage with pauses. You know what I mean?
Like I like that too. I like that too. Just, I did that for a while and it got me bombing.
But,
I would bomb all the fucking time.
But I like to experiment with a pause every now and then and just kind of sit in it before the punchline. Sometimes I even the jokes that I've done for a while, I kind of switch up where I put it in my set or how I get to the joke just to keep it fresh for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, sometimes
you
like,
I can't.
And honestly, because then it doesn't make it sound like a story you've told a million times.
Yeah, I gotta add some patois to it. Let me give some shout-outs.
Yeah.
We'll close up. We'll tell them. We got to tell them. What's happened, you bad motherfuckers? I'll be in Denver tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, and Salt Lake City on the 18th and 19th. Akil Ahmed, who loves you, cocksucker? Jeffrey Lewis, Thomas Godolby Sr., Harry Chase, Lindsay Rose, Matthew McKnight, and Ted Wattel White. I love you, cocksuckers. The most important thing is I know you're 20 years, you know, and you've had a lot of success in L.A., but now You got the thing you came here for.
Yeah, my own talk show.
You got yourself a little talk show. Just run me through and we'll get you out of here.
Well, you know, it's something I've always wanted to have, my own talk show, right? And this is going to be, it's going to be on CMT, which is perfect for me. Because they're trying to branch out and make it more of a middle of America programming. And it's kind of, it, the structure, I guess, is kind of like Chelsea was, where there's going to be two panels. We're not going to do a lot of, I'm never going to mention the Kardashians or Bieber or the Housewives because I don't give a fuck. But I will talk about things like, okay, you know, I just saw an article where the Boy Scouts have outlawed water guns. They don't let Boy Scouts. So my thing is like, when did we get so fucking soft? Right? So it'll be more like social issues, but with funny people. So if you made Mar a little dumbed down a little bit, all the things that we want to tell. Look, you know, my buddy admitted to his wife of 10 years that 6 years in, he got a hand job from a masseuse. A week later, she's divorcing him. Three kids, 10 years in. I just want to talk about shit that I have an opinion about. You know, these Instagram models who they fucked James Harden and then tweeted out a picture of him sleeping next door. What the fuck? Things that I want to talk about, right? So that'll be, and then that third act, I won't do any interviews because I don't really care that much about that. I'm a really curious dude. So it's going to be like a grown-up show and tell, man. I'm going to have people come on the show and teach me how to do shit that I don't know how to do. That's what it'll be. And I'll have some of you guys join me. You guys will be up on the panel and stuff, but I'll have you guys join me too. I'm just going to, for me, I'm going to do what I think is funny, period. And you know my sense of humor. It's a little goofy sometimes. It's, I would call it intelligently stupid.
You know, right? Sketches?
We'll do some field pieces.
I'd love to do a sketch. We go into your house, mm-hmm. and you're looking at your phone bill, just shaking your head.
You remember that?
And all of a sudden, your brother comes out of the room with a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, grape Kool-Aid, you know, everything black, and all of a sudden he puts it on the table and you go, "Dog, who's been calling Compton? Crenshaw?" And he
remember
goes,
that?
I don't know nobody in Crenshaw.
Oh. He did not walk out with chicken.
No. My brother taught in South Central.
In South Central, and he had a black girlfriend.
Yeah, and I was
all into the black.
This is when we were doing, like, we had to split our phone bills, and I was down to the fucking penny.
Crenshaw. And remember, that's me, used to charge you, I go, for calling Crenshaw.
Yeah, and I was like, "Hey, you got to pay this. You for calling Crenshaw." And he goes, "I didn't call Crenshaw." I go, "What?" He goes, "I don't know anybody in Crenshaw." I was like, "You teach in Crenshaw? You? That's where you teach?"
Oh my god!
Remember, he was adamant, dude. I did not make those phone calls.
Who the fuck? Nobody else knows black people. I know black people at the Comedy Store. That's all I know.
Dude, you're coming on the show.
Yeah. The 13th, right? No, yeah. The Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday, the... Who the fuck? No, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. Sunday the 14th at what time?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Well, dude, a bunch of you guys that, like, Tripoli's going to come on. Love Tripoli. Ryan Sickler. All guys that I think are fucking funny. Because why not? It's like you said, dude. I got however long I have to prove myself, might as well do what I think makes me fun.
What you think. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, go from there.
How you doing, Lisa?
You all right, buddy?
I'm good.
You're looking good, yeah. Feeling good, Billy? Well, you got your little, whose shirt is that? Tell Joshua.
Is this the...
That's his Suge Knight
shirt. Suge Knight shirt.
It looks like Suge Knight. That's what Suge Knight wore when Tupac got shot.
I mean, he's withering away. He's
no, he's a bad motherfucker. And he went to jiu-jitsu Tuesday night to the beginning class
for the first time.
What'd they teach you?
Well, a single and running the pipe. I don't know what it is.
And you knew how to do the single already. You remember?
Theirs was a little different. Wrestling, you have to kind of drop a knee and go. And
were you a wrestler?
That's a very loose term. Mm-hmm. I was on the team.
What were you wrestling at? Oh, wait.
I think I started high school like 160, and by the end I was at like 189.
Those little singlets, I fucking...
Wasn't my senior best picture.
Look? Was your senior picture in the singlet?
No. God.
Any pictures of you in that singlet?
I hope not.
I think you should bring one in. I would fucking love to see that.
I'll have to go check.
I think you should change it and make it your Facebook profile pic.
Oh, no.
Leave the poor guy alone. Look at him.
It's terrible. But
he's
a
fucking savage, this guy.
I went down with Zach last night, and it was awesome.
Was it good? How long was the class? An hour?
Hour and a half.
That's where I started, VMAC. It's a good little school. Right around the corner here. Good guys, good young guys.
You've been taking
jiu-jitsu
for a while, though.
2 fucking years now.
Yeah.
Zach said you're like the highest striped white belt. Like you got a ton of stripes.
Oh, please. I got like 3-stripe white belt. I don't want to be a blue belt because I got to touch feet.
Oh, you don't
they
like that?
They got to do leg locks and shit. I don't want people touching my feet. I got that fungi toe. Leave
it
alone.
Do you? When you get a massage, you don't let them rub your feet?
What's that?
When you get a massage, you don't let them rub your feet?
Well, who gets a massage?
You don't get a massage.
No.
After you work out, you don't let some little Thai woman walk on your back?
I go over here. There's a little fucking place on Lancashire. They do a $20 happy hour at lunchtime.
Yeah.
No hand job on them. They got the chairs. Yeah. You go in there. They soak. You ever go in there, Lee?
They soak your feet and then they rub your body. Feet
and you have your pants on, your clothes on. She rubs my feet. Yeah.
It's one of those.
She puts
it's a
cream on your legs. Yeah. Yes. They put cream. They rub your hands. They rub your shoulders.
I'm saying, so you don't let them rub your feet?
If they're ugly. Yeah, right over here by the house.
Yeah,
have a
that's
little
what
place
I'm saying.
Over there, right there by the little store, the general store.
Yeah.
In there by the pizza place. They got a little massage in there. Fucking the chick, Tuesday and Thursday, the chick is really like a muscular Chinese woman.
Really?
So when she fucking digs into you,
gets in there.
She digs in there. I should have gone today.
I've never gotten a massage.
Never?
No.
You should go over there. Let her beat
you
up.
Well, the problem is I don't want to go.
Sore.
I don't like people touching me. I don't like people behind me. That's your asshole. That's your asshole exposed. They always got the drop on you. You know what I'm saying? No matter how much martial arts you know, if you got your face looking down and you're thinking about something else, your finger's going to get in your ass. Yeah. Then you're going to be caught and they're going to hold you down. And then a bunch of those Chinese people are going to come in and finger bang you and you're sitting there going, no, no.
Oh, my God.
And you're going to go, why did this happen? Because I gave up my guard. You never give up your fucking back.
You don't switch governments.
I don't fucking switch governments. I don't give up my guard. Let me get some sponsors here and we'll get you out of here. Can't fucking do it. So the show premieres
June 11th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
which is
Sunday.
Next Thursday night at 11 o'clock. Please set your fucking VHRs. Do me the solid. Let's get this motherfucker the fuck
Lee,
up.
Lee, you're laughing at that, aren't you?
He got close.
He got what?
He was laughing that you said VHR.
You mixed VHS and DVR.
Whatever the fuck. DVR, VHS.
Hey, listen, if you got a VHS, I'd set that shit
too.
Hey,
it works. It all goes to the numbers. It all goes to the same fucking place, cocksuckers.
Just make sure the VCR's on channel 3.
Get it together.
I mean, he loves the VCR bit.
Oh, he loves all that shit. Listen, I ain't fucking around with you people, all right?
You said 3 times today there would not be any edibles. And then we had, like, what, 175?
Do you mind if I do this? No, no. Don't worry
frankly,
about the fucking edibles. The fucking edibles. You know,
I mean,
going deep every day.
Visibly, something has happened to him in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. Whatever that taffy is pretty strong.
That taffy's good.
Yeah, and then the Green Hornet never.
And you don't want to do a star. I did a star.
I saw
me
that
by myself.
No, thank you.
Do a star with Uncle Joey.
Dude, that's 125.
So what?
Josh.
What do you fucking care? What you got going on tomorrow? Nothing. That's it.
Living.
Living. Who gives a fuck about living? It's overrated.
Oh my God.
Mama coming over tomorrow?
Yeah.
What time?
After work.
Right then. Then what do you care? You can sleep all day and clean up your little Jew helmet. You'll be ready for when she gets home. What's the matter? Listen, for optimization, you understand me? If you're working out, you want to be healthy. If you're confused, listen, go to Onnit.com right now. Onnit.com got Alpha Brain, 100% guaranteed. They don't even want the fucking product back. That's how strong that shit is. That's how they open up, all right? Let's say you go get a Chinese restaurant. If the pork fried ride sucks, where are you going to go from there? If the pork fried ride sucks, where we go? You gonna order Mao Chu Ting? No. You pay the $6 and you get the fuck out of there and you never deal with those people again. That's it, right? So same thing. These people are telling you, if we suck, we'll give you the money back. That means we don't suck. Onnit.com right now. New Mood, Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune, the fucking T-Plus Testosterone Booster. You'll make gains 36% stronger. You understand me? So if you're lifting 10 pounds... You'll be lifting 13 pounds by the end of fucking June. That's right. Go to Onnit.com right now and what's the word?
Church.
Church. CHURCH in the box. get 10% off your first order. I'm not fucking with you. That hemp protein, the chocolate, that shit will knock your fucking socks off. It's easier to digest. I'm telling you. Give it a shot. Go to Onnit.com. You're sitting there going, Joey, what the fuck? I need this in my life? Well, I'll tell you what you do need. Underwear. The best out there. From T-shirts to hats to fucking these little underwear I wear for my jiu-jitsu, and it keeps everything tight. Today I sweat my balls off, and I had no ball sweat. How does that happen? How does the rest of your body?
How do you know you had no ball sweat?
Because I put my hand on the MeUndies.
Oh, just to make sure.
Just to make sure, like a diaper, clean.
Did you sniff it after your hand, just to make sure? Yeah, I know you. I know you.
Fuck yeah, I sniff that motherfucker.
You have to.
I will scratch my asshole and sniff my fingers.
I know you
at this
will.
Point. I love it.
Yeah, I know you. Do.
I love it. I love sniffing my ball sack. I don't do it in public because there's cameras. But I'll do it in the car when I'm driving.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so go to fucking MeUndies. Listen, you fucked me up with that. What I'm trying to tell you is MeUndies underwear. Why are you sitting there wearing that same shit? You probably got skid mark in your underwears. Your underwear like those old school white ones. It's 2015. Even I don't wear white ones anymore. And I ain't hip at all. I have no hipness to me at all. I dress like a unit electrician. But MeUndies has these sweatpants, Josh. Mm-hmm. They're cut already. I use them to work out, these little red things, tremendous. Mm-hmm. The T-shirts is what I use under my gi for jiu-jitsu. It's that light and it absorbs all that fucking sweat. MeUndies ain't fucking around. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your ass and talk to you about materials and cottons and fibers. I don't know dick. What I do know is that when I put my shorts on and I'm supposed to be sweaty and my balls are supposed to stink, they're not. And for you young guys, everybody needs it. Who wants sweat, stinky fucking balls? Nobody. Go to MeUndies.com and press in.
Joey.
Boom! And get 20% off and free delivery in Canada and the United States. Go to MeUndies and check out the styles. And they also have women underwear, too. Nice. You keep the ball sack dry. You keep that monkey dry. Okay.
You know what's funny?
What's funny?
If MeUndies should change their slogan to, who wants stinky fucking nuts?
They'd make $1 million.
Wives would buy it for their
husbands. Here we go. I'm going to give you something for free now.
Oh, shit.
Everybody smokes dope. Everybody gets hungry. But you're in bad shape, whatever, because you're eating shitty food. No more. Naturebox.com got the answer to your fucking solutions. No more going to the fucking machine and getting those shitty potato chips and tacos. You don't need that shit. MeUndies has healthy MeUndies.
MeUndies. NatureBox.
NatureBox.
There you go.
NatureBox has healthy, nutritionally approved snacks. Try the garlic plantain chips. Try the South Pacific plantain chips. Try the chocolate momos. Try the fucking, listen, man. Nature Box is on fire. They sent me a box about a week ago. I ate the whole fucking thing, me and that baby. I gave her those garlic fucking plantain chips. They went down. Those sriracha cashews, delicious.
Cocoa almonds.
I mean, this shit goes on for hours. The sesame sticks, Jesus fucking Christ. But don't believe me. I'm just a fat buck, you know. Don't believe me. Go to naturebox.com right now. They're going to ship you out a free box. Two big bags, three little bags for free. Gratis, on the arm. You're going to pay for shipping. Like $1.90. What are you going to cry? What the fuck? Get your life together, cocksucker. And that's it. Iron Dragon
TV. Preston Joey.
Oh! For Nature Box. You're sitting there going, Joey, how am I going to get the free box? You're going to go to naturebox.com right now. There's going to be a box. And you're going to press in
Joey.
J-O-E-Y and get a free box sent to your house. You're going to pay for shipping. Who gives a fuck? You're going to get five bags of nutritionalist tasting, tremendous tasting snacks. All right? I'm fucked up. Anyway, Iron Dragon TV. You like classic martial arts? You're sitting there looking at me like a fucking Momo. You don't know what to watch tonight. Go to Iron Dragon TV right now and press in.
Joey.
Boom! And get 2 fucking free movies on the arm just like that. No fucking muss, no fuss, okay? That's it. The podcast is over. We're too fucked up to do it. I want to thank Josh Wolf for coming on. Don't forget his show premieres June 11th at 11 o'clock across the board on CMT, all right?
Yeah.
You know I love you cocksuckers with all my heart. Sometimes you have accidents. Tonight I had one. You get a little stoned.
Pretty high.
What you're talking about? Sure. I want to sleep good tonight. I didn't sleep well last night.
I've been drinking since 8:30 this morning. I'm ready to go to bed.
When you came in here, your eyes were beady as fuck, Jack.
Yeah.
We good?
We're good.
We're good, motherfuckers. Have a great week.
Later.
I love you guys. I'll see you Monday in the afternoon. All the fucking shout-outs to all the people we love, everybody on Twitter. And don't forget the morning joint tomorrow morning. About 7:30, I get stoned for an hour with you guys. Stay black.
He's going to do this all over again. Now that the show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box. of great tasting healthy snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/Joey. That's naturebox.com/Joey. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and look at the pics of the men's and women's underwear they have. They have shirts, shorts, hats, socks, everything you want to wear. When you go to MeUndies.com/Joey, you're going to get 20% off of your first order and free shipping in the United States and Canada. And go to onit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all the great optimization products like Alpha Brain and New Mood.
Jump, go, go.